Can you go with me to the book of Hebrew? Chapter 11. In verse 22. So the Bible says, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commitment concerning his bonds. What are Joseph's bonds doing in this chapter? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that you give me. Thank you for allowing me to be your messenger. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts and not be my words but yours. Thank you and bless the church and bless everyone. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a good question. If you look at the context, it's talking about faith. But not leaving Joseph's bonds in Egypt, what faith has to do with it? Now, leaving the people of leaving from Egypt and going to the promised land, it is something about faith. Because he was announcing to the people of Israel, you're going to leave from here, you're not going to stay here. That was something that he didn't see it with his physical eyes. That was something that he was putting his faith on, something that the Lord had already said. But what about his bonds? What is that? Why is on the whole of the faith chapter in the Bible? And so, because of that question, I just went over all the verses and talk and see everything that talks about these bonds and why does the Bible brings that up. And so I did a little search on this. And then I got a couple of things that I want to say that I believe that the reason why is the bonds of Joseph being mentioned, especially on this chapter, what that has to do with anything. Number one, I think that the fact that he wanted his bond, or the fact that he's ordering the people of Israel, because it's a commitment, that's what it says in there, he gave commitments concerning his bonds, it's a demonstration of his faith in the fulfillment of God's promise. So God already said this, and because I believe that, I want you to take my bones out of Egypt and bring it to the promised land. So in that thought, he's putting his own body that is going to be dead by the time he's going to go on that promise, including on that promise, making known to the people, hey, I believe that this is actually a promise that God is going to make, is going to make it happen. And he uses his own body or his own bones that is going to be at the time as a proof that I believe on that promise of God. So we see the faith that Joseph has. So it's basically seeing the faith of Joseph and then using these bones as a tool or as a proof that this is going to happen. Now you have to remember another thing. 400 years. That's a lot of years. When Tracy and I talk about future, we talk about death and we talk about our death. So we're not afraid of talking that if we die, or you know what happened, what's going to happen with the kids, or what, we're not afraid of talking about death. to me, it's funny because when somebody, we as Christians say that we are going to heaven, and that heaven is the best place in the world, that there's nothing better than heaven, and then streets of gold and happiness and no more crying, no more pain, no more sorrows. And then somebody gets sick, and then we get all concerned. Please pray for me. I'm not feeling well. I'm at the hospital. I don't know what's going to happen. And then what happened with heaven? If heaven is so real, then you shouldn't be even afraid of death. Amen. Right? So what we talk about, Tracy and I talk about that. And then we went to a cemetery, and then they show us that you can buy your land, and you can buy your everything, all the stuff you need, right? And so I said, hey, you know what? It'll be good if we can buy our what's it called, the box, but all the stuff, you know, and even for the service and for the picking up from the hospital and all that. What if we just buy that and we just take care of that? So we don't know why you have to worry about it. And then I started making payment on my little piece of land over at the cemetery. And so, and Tracy, and then I already finished paying for it, so it's already paid for it. And we got that. It's already paid. And then I asked the guy, so what's going to happen are you going to leave my bonds there? And he goes like, no, after 5 years, we take them out. And then what do you do with that? So we put them in a box, and then we bring them to this little place, and we put them in there. And I said, how long are you going to keep on in that box and on the thing there? He said, it's going to be for 1,000 years. And I said, and what are you going to do after the 1,000 years? And he goes like, I don't know. But now, think about this. Joseph, embalmed? Embalmed? He's embalmed. So it's not even the bones. It's a whole body. It's a whole thing. And they put him on the box or whatever, and they cover him, and they have him in a place for 400 years waiting there. You know, and then think about this. The day that they leave in a rush, in a hurry. They have to get out and go, and they just grab a few things. And then the people of Egypt just came in, hey, just take this and take that and go and just leave from this place. But there's one thing that they have to bring. The bones of Joseph. Because he made us promise that we have to bring his bones back to the land. So they made sure they wouldn't destroy those bones. They made sure that they wouldn't put them anywhere. You know, if it's like me, I go to the different churches, I got my USBs, I just gave, do you give it to me? Yeah, he gave it to me, right? Yeah. So I forget the USBs wherever I go, and I leave them at the churches. I leave my Bibles, and I have to be calling the pastor, hey, just keep the Bible, just give it to someone. So if I would have lived during those times, I would have left his bones back there. But they didn't leave them. They make sure they took the bones. So, from Joseph was a demonstration that he had faith in God, but from God to the people, it was a reminder of his own promise. Yeah, right. I was going to take you out, and this is how we're going to do it. You're going to bring the thing out, the bones out. But while they were doing it, you have to think there's a couple of things that happen that in my case, I think I would have been discouraged, and I would have left those bones in halfway anywhere where I go. As they went out in the desert, there's a couple of things that happens. Number one, they had lack of food, and I'm not going to go through all the verses because we're going to stay here all night. But you know that there was lack of food. All of a sudden, they didn't have food. They didn't have meat. They were asking God, "We don't have meat." And then God sent a whole bunch of birds, and they were eating the birds. Then the climate in the desert is not like staying in a warm house. I don't want to say that it was too cold or too hot, but it wasn't the most comfortable climate. The diseases, there were diseases and there were plagues. If you remember, at one point there is the snakes that came all over and they were beating the people. That's why they had to put a snake on the stake and put it on the desert so people would see it and they would be healed. But they were attacked from other tribes. There's people. There's other in Exodus chapter 17. We see other people coming and attacking them. They were being deceived. People saying that they were from other land, but they were actually from there, and they infiltrated with them. There were spiritual challenges. Do you remember when Moses went to the mountain and then Joshua stayed on the bottom waiting for Moses? The people were waiting there for Moses, and one day went by, and 2 days, and 2 weeks, and 3 weeks, and all of a sudden 40 weeks, and nobody comes down. Let's build our own God, because we don't know what happened to Moses and his God. And they decide to build their own God, and when they build it out, I don't know, it's like, hey ladies, bring me your earrings, bring me all your gold, bring everything you got. And so everybody started taking their things off, right, and getting the gold and bring it back over here. And then they gave it to Aaron. And then when Moses come back, and he goes like, what happened? He goes like, well, they gave me all the earrings and all the stuff, I put it there, and this is what happened. Hey, we have it. Yeah, read it, that's what happened. It didn't happen just like that. But he gave him, there was a spiritual challenge that happened in the going. You know, if all that happened, I'll just leave those bonds over here. We don't need those bonds. Not just the 400 years or 450 years that they were in the desert going all over the places, but then after that, because they're disobedient, they had to stay 40 more years in the desert. Going around. Don't forget the Joseph's bones, okay? Bring the bones with you. And they were bringing those bones everywhere they went. And they also have this, like I said, they were discouraged. They didn't have a permanent house. They were going over and over. Because, number one, because they were complaining, because things are happening, because they weren't allowed to come. But there is one thing that I can tell you, that they did good. And that was their obedience. So we see some of the Israelites' obedience in that regard. Now, you have to see a little bit what happened is, and during the old times, you could not just put your bones or anybody's bones. So if my dad dies or my family dies, I could not just put them anywhere, because that for them was like a curse that happened to the family or to their generations. Now Joseph is basically the head of many of the tribes there. So putting the bones anywhere would create a kind of curse that not necessarily happened, but that's how they felt about it. If you remember that Jezebel, you remember that when she died, she was in the field, and the dogs or the animals came and they ate all the flesh, and the bones were all over the place. And when they went to pick it up, when they went to find her, they found the bones everywhere. They said, no, we don't touch it. It's been cursed. And they didn't touch the bones. They left them where they were at, because they thought that that's part of the curse. So what the curse that God would bring upon the family. And they were cursed because of her life, what she did in her life. But they would not do that, but also because they were obedient to that commandment that was given to them from their parents and the parents of their parents. Now, I will tell you another thing that I also believe would happen. Like I said, it was for them to carry the bonds. It was a reminder from God that He will fulfill His promise. So they're carrying something here. This something, it was attached to something else. And what it was, I will bring you out of the land of Egypt to the new land that I promised you. So they had something to see. Us as human always want to see something. We want to see proof of something. Thomas in the Bible, unless I see the holes in your bones and on the side, I won't believe. And then Jesus came in, and Jesus didn't say, I'm not going to show you anything. You don't believe me? You won't see anything. He didn't go like that. He came and said, yes, he says, Thomas, you're a believer. You don't believe. Put your hands in here and feel it over here. Now, I'm not saying that that's the way that we need to do, but we like to see. And so I think that having those bonds reminds the people that this is God's promise that is going to happen in our lives. Now, let me tell you something here, and then I'm gonna apply something here that might not be as the bonds of Joseph. But I think there's a type of bonds that God has given to us. And this is the application that I want to take. I believe that God gave us these bonds to remind us of His promises, to remind us of a couple of different things, many things in our lives. But I want to tell you a couple of things that I think that we can see as a reminder of God that we find in these bonds, the Bible. A reminder that help us to continue to go through, a reminder that we see in the Bible in some of the promises that we see. Now, there's a song that I like, and it's only in Spanish. I haven't heard anywhere in English or any other language, but it says something like 34,000 promises of God are mine. So I don't know how many promises are in the Bible. I haven't gone through any, like going through the promises, but if there were 34,000, those promises are mine. Amen. Now, if there's more than that, they're still mine. And if there's less, they are mine. Those are the promises of God. So I just want to take a few of the promises that will help us to continue to go through this desert of difficulties, because we are going spiritually walking on the desert where we may feel that we have lack of oxygen, maybe. Like we feel like we are desperate, where we might feel that we don't have all the finances that we need to keep on going, where we may feel that we have situations, sicknesses, and problems in our life that may discourage us from continuing. But we also have those reminders, those bonds that attach to God's promises that help us to continue to go in life. I would say one of His first promise is salvation through faith. God gives us the promise that He's going to save us. And He does it. It's by faith in Jesus. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whosoever believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a promise that God gives us everlasting life. And we trust in those promises. And then we have the bonds here to make sure that those promises are from God. And I know that He's going to fulfill them. I trust in those promises. I think that salvation has like two stages. Pastor, if I'm wrong, you can say it later or now if you want to. But I think salvation has two stages. We have the stage where we're not there yet. We have it. We have the promise from God. It's sealed by the Holy Spirit. But when we cross that line that we may call death or Jesus' return, we meet with eternity. But we're still on this part over here, and we're trusting in that promise of God that's what we're going to get. You know what I'm saying? Even though I already have the promise that He's already given it to me. Are you following me, what I'm saying? So, but I trust in the promise of God, and I know that God does not fail, and I know that He would have to be weaker than enemy so for me to lose that promise from Him. So because of that, it helped me to continue to go forward. It helped me to know that one day I will have God in my, I will be living with God for eternity, because I'm in that route. I've been saved for Him. I got the promise from Him. I may not feel like I'm saved sometimes, but because I trust in His promise, I can continue to go on in life. Amen. So, the promise of salvation, the promise of God's presence. Even that, there's a one thing that when the Israelites went in the desert, there's one thing that stayed with them all the time. During the day, there was a column of a cloud that was following them. And during the night, there was a column of fire that was behind them. And then it stayed day and night. And that represents the presence of God in their lives. But it also represents the promise of God in our lives. In Deuteronomy 31:6, the Bible says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And that's the same promise that is given to us. It's a promise that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. You probably already heard somebody wrote it, it's an anonymous, I think it is called, it's called Footprints, I think it is, or the print on the sand. And I love it. Every time I read it, it gives me, not that I cry, but it just gives me like a sensation that's how I feel with God. Because, and it goes something like this: a man is, he has a dream, and on the dreams, he sees two sets of footprints on the sand. And during the steps that he sees, those footsteps represent the good times that he had in life. And he knew that the one footsteps was from him, the other was from God. And then the times of bad times came in his life, and all of a sudden there was just one footstep of footsteps on the sand. And then he goes, "Lord, on the good times you were with me, and then in life when you were walking right next to me, but when I most needed you, you were not there for me." And the Lord replies, When you see only one footsteps on the sand, it's because I was carrying you in my hands." And then sometimes I feel like that. I feel like I'm walking by myself, that I can't do anything. I feel like abandoned. But always I got to remind them from God that He will never forsake me. He will never depart from me. He will be there forever. He has filled me with the Holy Spirit. So I'm secure. I have that. He is with me. There's nothing that can separate me from me. Nothing. There's nothing created on this earth that can separate me from God. And so I remember, we're not going to go look, we're not going to see this verse, but the Bible says, the Bible talks about God and Israel, and the people of, God tells the people of Israel, "When you were little, I carried you by my hand, and you did not know that." And that's what happens sometimes in our lives. God is right there next to you, holding our hands and saying, "Everything is okay." And we probably don't even know that. But He's there with us. So we got His presence. We have something else that I love very much, and it's answers of prayers. Now, on answers of prayers, I was telling someone today, someone was telling me something, I forgot what it was, but I do remember that I told the person, you know, God sometimes answers yes and sometimes answers no, but He always answers us. Yeah. The thing is that we probably are not too happy sometimes when He says no. Now, we'll know when God says no. But many of the times when we ask something to God, when we desire something from God, if it's accordingly to His will, it happens. I feel that I'm spoiled by God. And then I go in my church one day I was in the church and I said, "Hey, we were asking for a bus, God gave me the bus. We were asking for a land, God gave me the land. We were asking for this, God gave me that." And I start going through all the stuff that God gave me. I said, "You know what? I really don't ask God anymore. He gave me everything that I want." And so we had something in Panama, it's called carnavales. It's like Mardi Gras. It's like really bad. And our kids, go to that thing. And I said, you don't go there. And I said, I'm going to pray right now that if you go, you get sick, or you get something bad happened to you. I'm going to pray for something bad to happen. And then some of the ladies, Pastor, don't pray like that. You don't pray like that. I said, I'm going to pray like that. And he's going to listen to me. You'll see. So the next day, the same day, we're going to another church, and then we're riding on the bus, and there's a lady next to me, and it just happened that I'm right next to her. Her phone rings. It's the police. And then the police says, we have your son. He was in a fight. Not that he was in a fight, but he was like where the fight was. And they took him, and they have at the place there, you have to come and pick him up. And then she goes like, I'm not going to go pick up anybody. Just let him stay there. Our pastor already paid for that, so he stay there. I said, okay, we're going to church, I guess. So we went to church, and then the way back, she says, drop me at the police station. So I drop her at the police station, and she went to pick her son. And then the next day, somebody else, stay quiet, didn't tell me. I don't know. Because, you know, when things like that happen, somebody has to tell me something. And then somebody went like, Pastor, you know that somebody went to the hospital last night? I said, really? Who did? It was another boy. I said, what happened? Oh, he got sick. And then I just go with the questions, how sick he got? What he got? Well, he got sick with his stomach. Did he eat something he didn't eating? I think he ate. So we got a steak. Yeah. What's it called? Yeah, that. Whatever that you call it. So they sell it at the place where they do all the stuff. So he went and got the stuff and ate it. And then I don't know if he got poisoned or what happened, but he ended up at the hospital. And they didn't want to tell me because they knew that that's what I just prayed for. And if they tell me, that was just making sure that that happened. So next year, I come back and I say, anybody here going to go to the Mardi Gras? Do I have to pray for this again? And nobody wanted to go anywhere now from this time on. God is going to answer my prayers. And I see God answer my prayers many times. And I know I can go back and I can read in the Bible and He answers my prayers and I know that He does. The thing is that there's sometimes we're going to have to come to a point where we'll find out. We'll know for sure when God says no. When He will say something like, my grace is sufficient. And sometimes those probably would be hard times, would be times in our lives that we just have to say, Lord, I don't want it, but I'll take that. But He answers the prayers. There's another thing that I get from God, and I'm not going to be too long, believe me, but it's the peace of God. And in John 14:27, He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you to you as the world giveth. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. There's something that God gives to us and is the peace of God. And the Bible says there is the peace that overpass all understanding. It's something that when we go into hard situation in our lives, that peace from God comes to us. There's a lady in our church, her mother passed away, and then she was sad because of what happened. And we just talk about the peace of God. And then she came to, I was expecting her to be in church, and then all of a sudden she is in church. And then I said, I asked her, why are you here? I mean, your mom just passed away. And she said, Pastor, I'm just receiving from God what you told me. And He's giving me a peace in my mind. and I know that she's in heaven, and I'm okay with that, and I know that she's in a better place, and I'm, you know, I'm sure that in heaven there's a party celebrating for my mom, and I'm gonna be celebrating too. I'm not gonna. Yes, I'm gonna miss her, and it's sad, but I, in the same time, God has given me this peace to continue on life, and God give us that peace, especially on times where things are very bad. He comes and give us a peace that is not understandable. We cannot even understand that. And there's a song. I used to be Pentecostal, so with that in mind, that means that I knew all the songs and all the thing, you know, like. So I'm still Pentecostal in my heart, okay. And some of the songs, you know, go like that. And one of the songs is, it goes something like this. Qué lindo es tener la paz de Dios. Aquí muy dentro del corazón. Pareciera que estuviera en los cielos delante del trono del Señor. So it says, how beautiful is to have the peace of God right inside of my heart. It's just like if I would be right in the presence of God in heaven. When God gives you that peace, there's nothing around. There might be storms coming all the way from everywhere, but God is there to be with you, and there's a calm, there's a peace happening in our lives. And that's a promise from God. So that's why we need to look for Him. That's why we need to be close to Him. And then He also gives us strength in weakness. Many times we're gonna feel weak. And I'm not talking about with the strength. I'm not talking about the power in our bodies, but just like the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. So he gives me the strength in the middle of the weakness. And sometimes you don't understand how can someone go through different things in life and be so strong. So I went to visit a pastor. We went to visit a pastor, me and my wife. I think the kids went too. And then we went to visit. Or I went by with the pastor. I think I just went to visit with the pastor by myself. So we went to visit. He said, let's go visit this lady, this family. We're going to visit them to this place. So we went to the house, and we got there, and we were talking to the lady, and she was really excited. I knew that something happened. I didn't know what happened or anything. And then we were talking about something, and she ended giving us counsel to us and giving us strength to us. And so when I left from the house, the pastor says, and he was almost crying. He said, do you know what just happened to her? And I said, no. He says, well, she was pregnant. She had a baby girl, and she fixed the room for the baby that was coming. And I think the baby was born, and she was in the hospital for this many days, and all of a sudden the baby passed away. And then it was so bad on her, and, you know, it was disastrous. Imagine the house and having everything so beautiful for the baby to come to the house, and she wasn't able to make it to the house. And then I said, and then the pastor is crying right next to me, telling me the story. And I said, Pastor, but she was counseling us. How did that happen? I didn't even know that she just went through that. Because God gave us strength in the weakness. How is it possible somebody has so much strength when something like that happened and be able to go through things in life? There's only one way. It's through God. So there's a couple of promises. And let me just real quick say it. Salvation through faith, God's presence, the answers of prayer, the peace, and the strength in the middle of the weakness. And we got that bond to carry all the way with us to remind us of those promises from God. So I think if you ask me, so why were Joseph's bonds next to the commandment, the promise of God? Because I think that was what tied the promise with something visible to the people. Now we got the promise of God and we got something visible for us to hold and not to live anywhere like I do sometimes. But to bring with us as a reminder of His promises. I hope this message, it's a message for myself, because I have to remind myself so many times of that. So, but I hope it's a blessing to you, and we can see it maybe in a funny way, if you want to say it, but seeing the truth of God in our lives being applied. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for